He was an uncomplicated, straightforward man in many ways, about 6 feet tall, massive in appearance. He was bald, and he wore his whiskers in a famous cut. His whiskers swept down his chin and then up to form his mustache. His chin was clean shaven. This was called at the time the Burnside cut, and we get our expression sideburns from Ambrose Burnside's whiskers. A telling assessment of him, and it's one that could be taken different ways, of course, was Burnside is a brick. Now, that could either mean that he's solid, or it could mean that he's immovable or dense. It could mean a lot of things, but that is what one observer said about him. His personal courage was unquestioned. His intellectual capacity to command an army of more than 100,000 men, however, is something else entirely. I think Burnside, on some level, knew that he probably wasn't up to it. He certainly understood that his civilian superiors expected action from him, a winter campaign, just as Rosecrans had carried out in Tennessee. And he put together a plan quite quickly. He tried to think of this in a very straightforward way. His army was spread out near Warrenton on the Orange and Alexandria Railroad. He decided to move rapidly toward Fredericksburg, Virginia, try to beat Lee's army to Fredericksburg. Lee's army was spread out near Culpeper, part of it in the Shenandoah Valley. Get to Fredericksburg before Lee did, and then be in a position to move straight toward Richmond around the Richmond, Fredericksburg, and Potomac Railroad. If he could beat Lee to Fredericksburg, he'd put Lee in a difficult position. He thought he could march swiftly and come up a success. And his campaign began very well. He did march swiftly to Fredericksburg. He beat Lee to Fredericksburg. He was at that old colonial city by November 19th, 1862. But he needed pontoon boats so that he could build bridges and get his army across the river. He was on the east bank of the river. He needed to get to the western side. It wasn't his fault that the pontoon boats weren't there. It was a mix-up on the logistical side for the Federals, but the bottom line was that he sat and waited at Fredericksburg and waited and waited. The days went by. The pontoon boats didn't arrive. By the time the boats did arrive, so that the bridges could be built, Lee had reacted to Burnside's move, and Lee had put the bulk of his army into very strong positions west of the Rappahannock on a series of hills that paralleled the river. When his entire army was concentrated, which was just before the Battle of Fredericksburg, Lee would have 75,000 men. Burnside's army, probably close to 120,000. Well, Burnside probably should have adjusted his plan when the pontoon boats didn't come and when Lee's army went into position, but he didn't. He stuck with his original plan to cross at Fredericksburg, and that is what he did. Beginning on December 11th, 1862, in the morning, the Union engineers pushed out into the river and began to construct their pontoon bridges. Confederate soldiers firing from the shelter of buildings in Fredericksburg drove them back time and again. The Union artillery from the east bank of the Rappahannock responded by shelling the old city of Fredericksburg, and much of Fredericksburg was destroyed in this shelling. The pontoon boats eventually were laid. Union troops went across in boats, sort of assault boats, and formed beachheads on the Confederate side of the river, and that permitted the engineers to finish the pontoon bridges, and the Army of the Potomac began to cross the river. It was an incredible panorama that day, according to all the witnesses. These are two enormous armies, very close to one another. The terrain was bare. It was a natural amphitheater, really, with the Confederates on the high ground west of the river and the Federals on Stafford Heights, even higher ground east of the river, and both sides could see the movement of huge numbers of troops. There were Federal balloons up in the air on their side of the river observing the Confederates, and it was just a scene that people remembered. More men probably visible to soldiers on each side at Fredericksburg than on any other battlefield of the war. By the end of the day on December 12th, the bulk of Burnside's men were in position. Lee had grown very angry during the Union bombardment of Fredericksburg on the 11th. He said that this was making war on civilians, but Lee's soldiers were using the town for shelter to fire against the Federals, so it seems that it was probably inevitable that the Federals would fire on the city.